Welcome to Try Not to Blink, a podcast about the ups and downs, ins and outs, news, tips, and tricks of those who live the optometry lifestyle. We'd like to thank the amazing people at Valley Contacts who have made this podcast possible, makers of stellar gas permeable lenses and the oh-so-incredible custom stable scleral lens. In case you're wondering, I'm on the East Coast. My name is Dr. James Diem, and I'm joined by my talented co-host, repping the West Coast, Dr. Roya Habibi. What is up, Roya?
Nothing exciting, folks. Per usual, although 2021. This is our year.
That's right. It's our year.
It's our year.
It is our year, yes. And, you know, we have had some super exciting things happen in 2020, one of which was our first continuing education offering. And many of you, I'm sure, were sad that last week we had a repeat episode, but we are excited.
I think it shouldn't be sad. I think it should be like, we just liked it so much that we wanted you guys, if you missed it, which most of you guys listen to every episode, so I doubt you did.
Right.
But if you did, we want to stress the importance of A, we think it's badass. B, we put a lot of work into it, and you guys should go, if you didn't listen to it, if you didn't get your CE, do it.
Yes.
It's super easy and super available. So listen, follow the link, go get your credit. Thanks.
We had so many people do it. That's what I wanted to say. You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We had, you know, 400 or 500 people do it the first time around. Again, the second time around, several hundred. You know, so I mean, it's really just heartwarming to hear and see and observe the you know the support that we have, you know, for the podcast, and then, you know, just thinking about the potential that we have to offer continuing education, which we all need. So we want you to let us know what we should be talking about. You know, we want to know what continuing educations you want, what you want to hear about. We would love to bring on some great educators in reference to continuing education. And of course, we're going to keep our fun, lighthearted, and hopefully interesting dialogue as part of every podcast that we do. But when we do these continuing educations, obviously we want to make sure that we're following all the guidelines to assure that you get your credit. So thanks. Totally.
And I think too, it's kind of fun because, like, yeah, I know there's a bazillion options to get CE nowadays, but one, you guys are already listening to this episode, and two, we already put all the information available for you. Like, we're already doing the research for you. And three, why not just go do 10 more seconds to get a little CE? So we're excited to be able to provide that. We're going to, you know, shuffle them in throughout the year, and we are excited to have been able to set this platform up for you all.
Absolutely.
So, Jimmy.
Yes.
2021 is all about new things and, you know, progressing forward and just forgetting everything about the past. But one thing that I've been doing, granted, we did learn a little bit about it in 2021 or 2020, but I've been prescribing a little bit more Upneek. Have you, what's up with that? Have you been doing that at all?
You know, I have. And it's one of those things where it's almost like you feel goofy doing it. It's interesting. It's very interesting, you know, and I'm still fine tuning my approach and my way that I describe it, because I think we're so used to educating patients about reducing morbidity in some way, right? Like reducing some disease process and the likelihood that it creates loss of vision and or irreversible vision loss. And so, or some discomfort. This is different. Right? This is different. This is not causing a reduction in a disease process, really. Right? And I actually make sure to say that. But it's interesting. I've changed my approach to discussing this with folks.
Wait, before approach.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Gotcha.
For those who don't know what Upneek is, because it is super, super new, came out just, was FDA approved just earlier this year and is available as of, I would say, late summer this year. Upneek is a once-daily alpha-acting alpha-adrenergic receptor agonist that is used for the treatment of lid droop, droopy eyelids.
Lid droop.
Ptosis, whatever you want to say.
Right.
Oxymetazoline is their active ingredient. And it's actually pretty legit. With the drop within, I don't know, what would you say, five-ish minutes, five, it's 10 minutes? It's
impressive. It is.
The upper lid.
They say within 15 minutes. But yeah, I think it definitely is 5 minutes that it
Yeah. Reached. But it, you'll see a raise of the upper lid by about, I don't know, 2 to 3 millimeters. I mean, definitely, yeah. Definitely worthy, photo worthy. Definitely. I saw some photos you posted
yep.
on your accounts.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I think like, I agree. Yes, it's not like as a, you know, medical provider, it's not necessarily what we should be like making our bread and butter on. Granted, there are plenty of, you know, plastics and oculoplastics doctors that are doing that. Sure. And honestly, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit because I think there are plenty of patients that complain about their superior vision loss, which right. may just be their scapegoat to like say, I want to get a lid lift. But sure. I do believe that their lids are getting in the way of some of their vision. And I do, for those people that come in and say, I think my lids are getting in my way. What do I do? Those are my easy, like, here's a sample, try this. If you like it, you can get it. And if you really like it, but don't want to use a drop anymore, consider plastic surgery.
Right.
Consider a lid lift. But then there's also the people that have, you know, just one lid that's a little droopy and
right.
they probably notice it in pictures and don't like it for their wedding or don't like it for certain events.
Sure.
But otherwise, it doesn't really bother them that much. That's also sometimes I'll bring it up. Does that lid bother you? Or maybe they'll bring it up like, yeah, my lid seems to be getting a little worse. And I'll say, you know, there's nothing you used to say, there's nothing you can do. Go talk to our plastics doc. Now I can say, here's a drop. If you have a certain event you want to go to, you can use it. You can get a 30 or a 90 pack. And I think it's a great option for people. And if you're actually a patient I sent to our plastics doc for just the same reason, she's like mid 40s, young, doesn't like how her lid's drooping. I gave her some samples and she went to the plastics doc, said, you know, I love this drop. I use it every day. I'm tired of using it. I want my lids done.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Which I think is kind of, you know.
Like a little sample exactly. surgery.
Another thing worth noting to those who are like, oh, sounds interesting, but is it going to cause dry eye or is it going to cause, you know, what else is it going to do? One small right. perk I think of it is they're individually dosed and they're preservative free, which I think is definitely right. worth noting. I don't know why a lot of medications aren't getting an option for that. So I think it's worth it. We know that the vanity and the cosmetic field is way bigger than the, you know,
totally.
Healthcare
totally.
Field.
Yeah, no, and I've, you know, really tried to think about, you know, ways that I could not get into that, but, you know, incorporate that into my discussion. I think folks, you know, especially, you know, my female patients appreciate, you know, me making an effort to discuss some of those things. You know, certainly having IPL has opened the door to some of those discussions. I've actually had a rep reach out to me recently about a, believe it or not, a facial machine, not something I'm going to do, but you know, it's just kind of, I did some research on it. You know, just, enlightening to learn a little bit about that and how it could potentially affect, you know, the eyelid region and so on. There are lots of doctors doing radio frequency stuff. Mm-hmm. RF is big right now in dry eye, and certainly that helps with wrinkle reduction. So yeah, it's definitely a world that we should be thinking about. Treatment adverse events for Upneek were low. Most of them were mild in nature. I'm just looking at the list right now. 51% were rated as mild in nature. Punctate keratitis was the number one treatment adverse event. Yeah, but very, very, very low, you know, likelihood of any. And I've had a number of patients use it now and it's been successful. The biggest area of success that I've had now, if any of you out there are using it or interested in using it, I'd say, you know, try and, you know, reach out to them. It is not widely available. It's not available in a pharmacy near you. It is only prescribed from their pharmacy, and they don't have reps, you know, out in the world. So they have some, but they're very limited. In fact, you know, we don't have a rep. We always have somebody that I know who, you know, reached out and called us and said, you know, I'll be your virtual rep. So they sent us some stuff. But they have some great, you know, if it's something you think you're interested in, they have some really great patient education tools. There's this really good poster. Now, you know, I don't like to clutter up my rooms, but this poster is just, you know, I don't have to say anything to patients. I have this little poster in the room. It's shaped like an eyeball, and it just has the picture of the before and the after. And literally, that's all it needs to be there. And patients bring it up to me. So they bring it up to me. And, you know, that's how I've done it, you know, from this point forward. Now, the patients that I bring it up to are the ones that you mentioned are the ones that have like one lid a little lower than the other. And I'm like, you know, it's interesting. We have this option, you know, maybe just use it in one eye. How are you positioning it as far as usage? Do you say, are you going to, you're going to do this every day? You know, how do you position that?
I mean, I typically say it's technically, I believe it's supposed to be dosed daily, although it has about a 6-hour efficacy. I say, you know, use it for events. You're probably not going to use it when you're around the house, but use it for events, use it for a meeting or something where you just want it to look nice. Just like I would say, for instance, the Lumify treatment. I'm not going to say you should use this drop every day. You should use this if you're going out to lunch with your girlfriends, you don't want your eyes to look red, or, you know, something where you just like want to look nice or you have an interview. But yeah, I think one thing that we all get caught up in medical care is that treating somebody's like well-being is important, just as important as treating their glaucoma. And I think about this for a lid droop. And I also think about this for instance, like a huge exotropia. You know, that exotropia is not hurting that patient anymore if they're a 40-year-old with a, you know, 40 diopter, prism diopter ET. But sometimes I'll say, you know, does your eye turn ever bother you? Like, do you ever think about wanting to get that fixed? I mean, because sometimes it's a big deal for them to get that fixed, and it can really be a nice thing for, you know, not only just their own self-esteem, but also, you know, just like conversation. It's something that annoys them perhaps, but they've gotten used to. I think it's our job to just show them the options that are available. One last thing I'll have to say about Upnique, and I want everyone to go look at their website. Jimmy, did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did not, believe
it
or not.
Okay, well, you'll still know who she is, probably. Upnique's like eyes that they use, I swear to you, have to be Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. Oh gosh, I'm going blank on her real name at the moment. Sophie Turner. The eyes are Sophie Turner's eyes, I think. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's her eyes. Do you know who I'm talking about, Jimmy? Did you look it up?
Yes. I'm looking it up.
Tell me. Yeah. Now when you look at that, every time I had to turn the poster around, I can't look at it anymore. It's Sansa Stark's eyes. I've decided that's what it is.
Must be who it is.
Proven. It is it until proven otherwise.
That's right.
That's it. Okay, another exciting thing that I think is worth noting about as a new 2021 update is Massachusetts' new upgrade for treatment in the realm of optometry. They're now allowed to treat glaucoma, which previously was not available. Yes, you can probably talk more about this, yeah?
Yeah, no, they were not able to treat glaucoma before. And, you know, certainly that is a big issue. There's two schools of optometry in Massachusetts. So we have, you know, budding eye doctors in a state that, you know, significant restrictions in place as far as scope of practice. So that's an issue. And, you know, naturally just the access to care. So yeah, not able to treat glaucoma. Lots of people have mused as to why, you know, maybe the strong medical lobby there, you have Harvard, you have, you know, just these big medical facilities that maybe just have a lock on it there. Thankfully, yeah, that has been altered, and now there is a you know, a whole group of new docs that are going to be able to treat and diagnose glaucoma. It's wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, very cool. Very good step forward for the profession.
Definitely.
Also, just like, I don't want to talk about the C word. I feel like that's really 2020, but
so 2020.
I feel like both of us have to celebrate. We are one shot into our COVID test, our COVID vaccine.
That's right. Yes. Yes, we are. Let's, you know, actually, Oh my God, so much to talk about with this, right? I mean, we could just go on for days. We did a COVID vaccine episode, COVAX, a few episodes
ago. Check it out if you didn't. Check that out.
I feel like I'm a little bit more educated even now than I was then. And
I'll be honest, when you're talking about it before, I just like glazed. I don't even think I asked you a single question. I didn't even really, like, I cared, but I was like just letting you talk. But now I'm like, oh, I have so many things to add.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think so. I'll just give a little brief description, just a brief, you know, just a quick one. mRNA vaccines are kind of the bomb, diggity. They just are a little piece of information for your body, your body's machinery to produce protein. That's all it is. That's what mRNA does. mRNA exists to tell our body's own machinery to make a protein. It doesn't embed itself in our DNA. It doesn't change our DNA, and it does not in any way, shape, or form contain any virus. So it doesn't have dead virus. It doesn't have live virus. It doesn't have weakened virus. It has no virus in it. So what it has is a little tiny piece of genetic information in the form of mRNA, and that's encapsulated in a lipid envelope, fatty envelope. And that fatty envelope allows for penetration into our cells. Our cells identify it, utilize it, and create a protein based on it. After it's created the protein, our body gets rid of it. It dissolves. It doesn't, you know, embed into anything. It doesn't change our genetic makeup. It doesn't, you know, exist in there forever.
So it doesn't like implant any like tracker in you?
No tracker. The contrary.
Well, I was saying someone said, "Oh, aren't you afraid of the tracker?" I was like, your tracker's on your wrist, homie. You've got an Apple Watch on your wrist.
Yeah, I mean,
your tracker's in your phone, homie. Everything. It is your phone. You already have a tracker on you. Yeah. Let's move on past the tracker thing.
Hashtag but more important,
you're already well tracked, way past that.
That's right.
But also, I kind of, what I tell all my loved ones or my staff at work is, this is literally just like a wanted poster. You are injecting a wanted poster into your body. And that poster, your whole body's going to see that wanted poster is at the cafeteria of your body. And then that wanted poster gets trashed. You already know. You know who it is. That's right. Your milk carton. Yeah. Everyone knows who not to let in. And then and then it's done. That's it.
We've all heard what it does, right? It makes the spike protein, and then you get a bunch of little spike proteins floating around your body, and those spike proteins are recognized as foreign invaders, and your body makes antibodies against them. And so your body makes antibodies. Guess what? It that is your body's immune response. So you know what happens when your body mounts an immune response? You may feel sick. You know, that is normal, but it's fleeting. I did not notice any sickness when I got my, first treatment, first injection. I did have a sore arm for a day.
Oh my God. I felt like maybe seven people punched me in the arm for like a day and a half. I like put my arm in a sling. I felt so pathetic. Yeah. That is the only thing I felt though.
Yeah. I had sore arm. No big deal. I have one staff member that, you know, was very, you know, she was a little theatrical, let's say, about you know, how she felt, but you know, she hung in there. She was better 24 hours, so she was, you know, head was foggy, she just felt really groggy. She did not have a fever, but you know, just sent her home, just said, you know, just go home, just relax, and she was better, you know, the next day. My scribe, you know, she said that over the weekend, like 2 days after getting it, she had like a little fever for about 4 hours and just came and went. And so that's just, you know, some personal anecdotes. I literally just saw one of the ER doctors in our community, very close relationship with them. And he literally just got the second dose, and he said he was just totally out, you know, and he was fine the first one, but he was totally out for about 24 hours after getting the second dose. And I just said, well, you know, glad you're still here to tell us about it. You know, everything's fine. So, you know, I think, you know, we focus on all the negative stuff associated with it, but you know, if you understand how it works, what it does, really nothing to be afraid of. It's totally normal stuff. And thank God for, you know, modern medicine. We have something like that.
I think too, as our role in healthcare, as healthcare providers, the other day, for instance, I was standing, I've been redecorating my optical. Oh. We like 2 years ago had a flood. And so we had a whole bunch of new stuff put in, but nothing actually looks nice. It's just, you know, blank boring wall. So anyway, I've been in charge of doing that. And I've been in an office and around the front desk in a capacity I've never been. I'm never just standing around doing stuff where, like, even being around the front desk for hours at a time. So anyways, I'm hearing the front desk staff talking to people, talking to staff. And I hear someone ask the staff, did you get your COVID vaccine yet? And she said, no, it's too new. I don't want to be a guinea pig. I'm not trying to do that. And I was just thinking, oh my God, we failed her. We did not tell her. We're not telling our staff why it's important.
Yeah.
We're not educating them.
Yeah.
Because she's scared. She's scared for a reason that she has no, like, and it's not, it's not fair to her. I mean, even like my family, I'll hear a lot of people say that, right? The vaccine did get pushed through fast, but there's a legitimate reason for that. And actually this mRNA technology, utilizing mRNA to create a vaccine, is not new. Right. It's just never been done at the scale that it's been done now, but it's been used for many different treatments, including several different types of tumor treatments and other diseases. So
flu,
it's
vaccines,
not
Ebola, Zika, all sorts of different things. So it's not new at all. In fact, my pregnant wife, who's 5 months pregnant, you know, and it has not been, you know, FDA approved in pregnancy, got it. And she got it because her doctor said, you know, that they believe it is safe and that she should not worry because, again, there is evidence to show, and it has been studied in pregnancy for other mRNA vaccines. So, you know, if anybody wants to, you know, believe in something and, you know, be, you know, see someone else's faith in science, there's a good evidence of it.
So. Yeah, actually, the American Academy of
Obstetrics and Gynecology
recommends the shot. recommends the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
At least the mRNA vaccine.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's the risk actually of pregnant women being more sick due to COVID is higher than the risk any risk associated to what the vaccine could do for you.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you hear about that? You just heard about that somewhere?
So I've done my research because I have all these staff asking me these questions. I have, because, I mean, I was just researching the different people that would be maybe arguing not to do it. And
Okay. Good.
Get out of here, Jimmy.
I'm just checking, just wondering, you know.
Still going up.
Huh? Still what?
Still going up.
All right. Okay. Good.
Nice. All right. Tell us, we have some other vaccine-ish sort of things we want to talk about. No, not really.
Do we?
Allergy stuff.
Oh, allergy stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, yeah, this is something that, you know, I've now really gotten into. You know, we were fighting for a while to gain the ability to do allergy testing. And so there was this company called Doctors Allergy Formula that was a company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Bausch & Lomb. And they were, you know, basically, I think it was actually first started by an ophthalmologist, and then they sold the company to some other company, and then Bausch & Lomb bought it. And so wherever along the process, Bausch & Lomb figured out or decided that they weren't going to work with optometrists, doctors of optometry, in reference to this thing. So they're like, yeah, you could do it. It'd be great. I remember talking to someone about it. And what I'm talking about is in-office allergy testing. And so, you know, I talked to someone about this probably 2 years ago, and they were like, yeah, you know, it's great. You just need to get an ophthalmologist to do it for you. I'm just like, no, that's not how we're going to do that, because that's not, you know, we're an independent healthcare provider, and we're not really interested in that. So, you know, I'm not that I don't want to work with, you know, ophthalmology. I do. And I love doing that, but that's something, you know, that we don't, you know, need to do in this regard. So
for that initiative.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would we want to bother, you know, someone with that? So make a long story short, we, were very excited to learn about a new company called Aller Focus that really brought this, technology to all eye care providers that are able, you know, legally to do, this test and interested in doing this test, and with a really very easy application and great staff education and so on. So we got this. Actually, you should go back and listen to our podcast with Ariel. Now, do you remember how to say her last name? Sorenzi? Sorenzi? Doctor?
You got it.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So Ariel. And we did that a few months ago, and she talked about it a little bit. And actually, she was the one that really relit my fire for doing this testing. And so I reached out immediately to the company and spoke to the owner. It's a really great, refreshing thing because the owner is just a, you know, a normal person. You don't have to wait online for, you know, some big organization. Her name is Mary Jackson. She lives in Florida, and she actually flew to our office, you know, in pandemic times to teach our whole staff how to do this and, you know, implement it and just get us going between two offices. And she, you know, this was a really important thing because this is something that is done, you know, hands-on. You know, you gotta, this is not really something you could teach over virtual. So this is a cutaneous test, a test that is, you know, almost like a finger prick, if you will, but little tiny skin cutaneous injections, if you will. It's not truly an injection, but it's, you know, placing the antibody on the skin to allow for a test to be observed. And so it takes all of 15 minutes to do, and it allows you to get a estimation of a multitude of really common allergens. And so, you know, I look at allergy as being this like total bane of my existence, total thorn in my side. And, you know, because I think that so many people blame allergies for dry eye, you know, they're just like, oh, my allergies. And it's like in the middle of the winter and there's no freaking allergies. Right. So now it's like, oh yeah, you think you're allergic to something? Okay, well, let's find out. So, you know, that's really what it is. And so we're just trying to do a better job at discussing this with people, because what do you do about allergens? What do you do for allergies? Really?
I tell them to take Pataday.
Well, really the best way to treat an allergy is to avoid the freaking allergen, right?
Sure.
That's really the best thing. So you cannot avoid the allergen if you don't know what the hell it is, number one.
True. I totally agree with that.
And then number two, you know, you may have, I don't know. I know I not have never done this, but there is allergen treatment, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can, you know, actually teach your body to get, you know, an adequate response to being introduced to that allergen. So there are injections for that, but this particular medicine does not, or this particular treatment does not utilize that medicine. What it does is it utilizes something called sublingual immunotherapy, which would be actually a medicine or pill that would be made specific for you to address the allergen response. So it's pretty neat, you know, that we not only would have an ability to right there in the office in 15 minutes determine A, are you BS with your, you know, it's just allergy response, or is there something really there? Let's talk about ways that we can address that by avoiding it. And then C, do you want to do something long-term to address that allergic response on a systemic level? So it's pretty exciting to be able to do this. Now, I will say in a practical application, this treatment is not inexpensive, you know, as far as the sublingual therapy goes. So that is, it's something, you know, they have to continue to do for, you know, probably years. And from that perspective, you know, it's a pretty significant investment. So there's going to be an investment on that end. But with that being said, you know, I've had a few people interested and, you know, convert to actually doing that treatment. So I've had many more people actually do the test. So what do you think? Is this something you would do? Do you do this? What's your approach?
So honestly, I think I would, depending on the time requirement. I mean, for me, I have a one tech team realistically. So I don't know if I could rely on having a 15 minutes extra on top of the consult. Right now, I do send a good bit of patients to, we have a couple allergy centers right near my office. So resource-wise, I do have that available, although it doesn't always happen. And you know it's more likely to happen if you just say, we're doing this right now. So I do think that the option of it is super interesting. I mean, I do think, well, like, what do you do about someone who has dust mite allergies? What do you do about someone who has, you know, an allergy that is a cat allergy and they have cats? They're not going to get rid of their cat. So then I guess you say either deal with it or do this treatment. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And actually I have a staff right now that it's the cat. It's the cat. Yeah. We knew it was the cat. And they're like, you know, well, I tell my daughter, keep the cat in the room, in her room. And I'm like, well, your daughter doesn't stay in the room and the air doesn't stay in the room and her clothes doesn't stay in the room. And, you know, yeah. So the cat might stay in the room. The cat's got to go, you know, and she comes in, her eyes are, you know, swollen like a raccoon. You know, I'm not kidding. It's terrible. You know, this is a real problem. And apparently she's been dealing with it for years. And, you know, she's new to us and I'm like, this is, so we immediately did the test and lo and behold, you're allergic to cats. Not a big surprise, but this is, you know, you're right. It's an issue. And so that's where the sublingual therapy comes in. You know, this is something that we can do to help reduce the response to that allergen. If you can't get rid of the allergen, but you got to do a better job, you know, an allergy pillow, thing, you know, there's tons of stuff out there, air purifiers. If you really want to get into it, there's a lot out there that you can get involved with. And again, you know, you don't have to be the only one to work on this, but you know, you are basically looking in, and what I, how I look at this is we are determining the extent of dry eye versus allergy that's really going on. So we're looking at it really from an ocular surface disease perspective, but obviously it's a systemic issue. So you're looking at it to determine, you know, is there real allergy at play? If there is, let's get an allergist, an allergen specialist involved. Yeah. You know, I think that's certainly like that. Easy. And our local allergy, you know, people are cool with it. They like it. You know, I've made friends with them. I'm patient. They're, one of them's a patient of mine. And, they're like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do it. You know, they don't think we're infringing on their territory. They're busy enough dealing with taking people's tonsils and adenoids out. They don't care about
a bunch of allergy tests.
They don't, they really don't, you know,
they'd rather you come in with a defined thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go, we'll take it from here. No big deal. And of course, you know, their testing is maybe more robust and larger. You can do tests that, you know, go up and down your arms and down your back. You know, this isn't all of that, but it definitely is helpful in getting to the root of the issue. So anyway, I would highly recommend it. You know, this is not a paid advertisement for you know, the company that I'm talking about called AllerFocus, but I would highly recommend them. They are very doctor of optometry friendly, and there's a lot of information out there on them. And the lady's name is Mary Jackson. You can reach out to her.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So 2021, here we are. We are so excited. You know, this year we have some really big things coming for Try Not to Blink. We would love for you to reach out to us on our social media platforms. Let us know what you want to hear about, what you want to see us doing. We'd love to get some new guests on this year. Lots of exciting things coming. One big thing that I think needs to be said is, again, the support of Allie Contacts. We couldn't do this without them. And if you have not noticed, there has been a ton of really cool stuff happening at Valley Contacts. Certainly, I've seen an update in their patient care packs, some new designs that are really, really neat. I've seen an update in their trial lens kit that you can order. It's totally something that you can customize to your to what you want. If you have a hard time, you know, finding out what you want, you know, feel free to ask Roy or myself what would be, you know, a good place to start or where would be a good place to start. Certainly we have Dr. Adeline, who is, you know, of course, taking the professional relations at Valley Contacts up a notch and offering, you know, the contact lens program where she will actually come out to your office and teach you how to fit the custom stable line of lenses.
Some things that I think are super cool too, and have been some like new things that I'm super excited for in 2021. I've been fitting scleral lenses through my fellowship really heavily and consistently for over 5 years now. And
getting old.
It isn't, no, that hurts, the 5 year thing. But yeah. This is the first time where I feel like I have some upgrades that were things that I couldn't do before that are truly changing how I can prescribe scleral lenses, both of which are very, at least for me, exclusive to my Valleys fitting kit.
Yeah.
So two of which we've talked about. Well, actually, one of which we've talked about, and actually, we have another episode coming. I can give a little feedback, and we're actually going to have a special guest on talking about the Ovitz higher order aberration system, where you can incorporate higher order aberration into the scleral lenses. Valley's the only lens that I can incorporate that information in at this time. Yeah. And also, I recently got the Pentacam update for their corneal scleral profiling and been able to work with them. Valley Contacts again to incorporate the corneal scleral profile into my lens design, which is super cool too for patients that I just struggle to put a lens on and make it work the way I want it to work. So anyways, more to come on that. One last tip I think we ought to do, because it's been a hot minute since we've done one of these, is let's do a quick cell pod, because I have one cell on the pod. Top of my mind right now.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, this is a huge, huge shout out to Hannah, my right-hand woman, my technician at work. She's super cool. She's been working with me for, I don't know, almost 2+ years now. And she's actually goals of applying to optometry school in the future. Cool. But she has literally taken on, she is my trainer for scleral lenses. In fact, I give so her good. The lenses. I walk out of the room. I come back and say, she's so the best teacher, isn't she?
Yeah.
But she is the best teacher. And she's come up with some ideas that are brilliant. And one I want to share, because honestly, nothing is worse than fitting a beautiful lens and then you can't get your patients to learn how to put them on.
The worst.
What she's done, because we have little cups, little plastic pixie cups. They're like the waxy plastic pixie cups in our each exam room for patients who need a sip of water or whatever. Sure. And Hannah has taken those cups, poked a hole in them, and put her plunger in as she's teaching people to start.
Love it.
And she does it for every single patient. And some people end up picking up the plunger and using it themselves, you know, doing it the, kind of a more conventional way. But sure. I would say 90% of the time, because what happens is the patient ends up with the lenses on by the time I come in the room. And then I kind of help pack up their kit again and send them out and just review anything as I'm packing it up. And 90% of the time, I'm like, did you like the cup? And they're like, yes. So I put the cup in the bag for them. People love the cup. And you guys, all it is literally cup flipped upside down, pencil through the top of it, put your plunger in the top, and the patient lowers their eye onto the cup.
Beautiful.
So much less steps, because you know exactly where the cup is. You don't have to raise. You can really focus on just holding your eyelids. Really,
it's like
really
$100 less than the Sea Green inserter.
Sea Green inserter is cheaper. There's also one from, Augmented Vision, from, which is also awesome. I do have that too, but still, it is definitely cheaper. You can just buy a pack of $3.
Very accessible.
Cups.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't beat it. You know, if you can get her to take a picture of that, that would be great with her smiling face. Get her to show us what she does there. That would be super cool.
I'll post it on Instagram. Go check it out.
I love it.
For whoever wants to see it. But no, it's a brilliant idea.
Perfect.
Super affordable. Something love you keep it. In your office and you give them. And you can show them the other more expensive options. But it's nice to be able to give every option or every patient if they want that option. Yeah. So
cool.
That's my cell pod. Get
Thank
creative.
You for the cell pod.
Well, I think that's about does it. Before we go, as Jimmy mentioned, reach out to us for feedback, questions, things you want us to talk about, either through email or on our Instagram or Facebook. We never depart without saying thanks to Valley Contacts for their support, both the amazing lenses they make and the great people they are to work with. And be sure and tune in and listen to our next episodes. But until then, try not to blink.